Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that as we reflect on this story in Matthew chapter 11, that we would be encouraged by you to stay faithful until Jesus returns. In his name we ask, Amen. Have you ever felt unrecognized? Have you ever felt like you were overlooked? Have you ever felt like you were forgotten? Have you ever felt underappreciated? Then this story today is your story. If you've ever felt invisible or let down by God, then this is the story. Matthew chapter 11 is where you need to look. And I think we all have these kind of seasons where we feel, for whatever reason, deeply, bitterly disappointed in God, that things are not what we expected, or that we haven't received the recognition we thought was fair. Not in an arrogant way, not in a kind of vain way, but just in a fair way. Let me give some examples of how I think this is fair and a good expectation. Imagine that there's a faithful mother and wife who serves just day in, day out, and, you know, people say, oh, you're just a housewife and, you know, what do you do all day? But she works so hard and she counts the pennies, but her husband never praises her, you know, and he wastes money. You know, she thinks, I'm just not appreciated. You know, she feels let down. Or, you know, the Christian who is in the workplace overlooked, when there's job opportunities, they never get considered. And when the retrenchment packages come, theirs is not as big as the other people's. You know, it's massively frustrating when they have served with all their heart in a workplace and yet they do not get the recognition. Or imagine you may have a friend like this, a single person who longs to be married, and they've been godly and faithful and prayerful over a long period, but God has not given them someone to marry. And, you know, they've rightly resisted advances from unbelievers, but it feels like God has forgotten their needs. So have you ever had that experience that your circumstances will be unique, that season where you just feel forgotten by God, unrecognized? That can be some of the most painful experiences of life. What should we do when that happens? Well, this story is for us. In that situation, put yourself in the shoes of John the Baptist. He's the main character of this part of Matthew's narrative. Jesus is in it, but it's all about John the Baptist. He had a great start to his life, his ministry. He had a kind of a big birth, and then he had a great ministry. He was popular. People came out. They were baptized in repentance under him. Where is he now? According to Matthew 11, verse 2, he's in prison. It's not going well for John the Baptist. And in fact, we know from three chapters later, he's in prison under the wicked ruler Herod, who we know from even the history books was just a nasty piece of work. No one really liked him. Famously corrupt, and John the Baptist called him out on his corruption, especially his sexual corruption, called him out for taking his brother's wife, and for that reason he's in Herod's prison. And he does a strange thing in prison. We've got to get in his head, what's going on for John the Baptist? So it says, when John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples, that is, John has his own church, John has his own flock who visit him, his own disciples. And he says, go to Jesus and ask him, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Isn't that an interesting question? It's almost like John the Baptist has lost faith in Jesus. He's so discouraged. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And scholars really are confused by this, because we know that John the Baptist is the one who was the first to sort of see Jesus as an adult and say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He knew who Jesus was. And especially if you factor in the event of the baptism of Jesus, you know, John said, you know, I'm not worthy to baptize you. You should baptize me. And Jesus said, no, this is the way it's got to be done. And the Holy Spirit, you know, falls from heaven on Jesus and the sky is opened and the voice of God the Father, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. How could John forget that event? How could he doubt Jesus' identity? Well, some scholars, I'll tell you one theory that I don't quite buy, but here's one theory. People say John the Baptist was not doubting Jesus at all, but he wanted his flock to switch over to Jesus. And so he sends his disciples over to Jesus that they will see who he is, that, you know, are you the one? And that they will stay with Jesus and just let John fade away. There's some merit in that, but it's not how it plays out. Firstly, when they go to Jesus and ask the question, the first thing Jesus does is say, I want you to go back to John and tell him what you saw. And so Jesus knows this is about John. Anyway, here's what they have to report. Verse 5. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear. This is all the kind of Jesus' greatest hits. The dead are raised. The good news is preached to the poor. You know, Jesus says, go and tell John that I'm doing all the things the Messiah was meant to do. If you know, there's a lot of Isaiah in this chapter. The prophet Isaiah had prophesied a year of jubilee when the captives will be set free. And Jesus is alluding to that. Isaiah 61, the Messiah really has come. Look at the evidence of the kingdom. But you can tell Jesus knows something's up with John because he says, verse 6, go and tell John, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. You know, tell John to hang in there. Now, what's going on then? What's going on for John the Baptist? Well, let me put it this way. Let me try and give a solution that doesn't make John kind of foolish. I think what's happening for John is it's not a crisis of the identity of Jesus. It's just a crisis of disappointment. It's that sense that I was talking about. He just feels forgotten. He just feels like no one cares about him and that God doesn't see. And so I think John is sort of crying for help. You know, Jesus, if you are the one you say you are, why am I in prison? Surely I would be, you know, in glory, the Messiah's come. I'd be up there getting medals and, you know, you'd be ruling the world, all that sort of thing. I think John is not confused about is Jesus the Messiah, but he's bitterly disappointed. He feels let down by God. I think this is fair because John the Baptist is not, he's just like you and me. He's frail. He has weaknesses. You know, we are but dust. Even the most genuine Christian believer will at times have doubts. So this is not about confusion. It's about confidence in Jesus. It would have been really hard for John the Baptist to have his own disciples. Imagine the kind of conversations they come and visit him and they'd be complaining. They'd be saying, John, we followed you because we thought we'd be in the Messiah bandwagon, and now, you know, you're in prison. You've failed. Herod, this corrupt idiot, has beaten you. You were supposed to make the straight path for the Lord, and now you're stuck in jail. You were meant to bring the end of the exile, but now God is not ruling at all. This corrupt man is ruling. And of course, there would have been a lot of rumors that at any moment, Herod's gonna pull the trigger, which happens in Matthew 14. And so listen to Jesus now. And listen to Jesus. I think Jesus knows John is discouraged. He's not confused. He's just discouraged. Listen to the encouragement Jesus gives to a believer who feels forgotten. And this is specific to John, but it's great stuff. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out in the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind?" That is, did you expect someone who would tell people what they want to hear? Someone that would tell Herod what he wants to hear? "If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes?" And actually, we know that John the Baptist didn't wear fine clothes. He wore kind of rugged, you know, kind of crocodile man type outfit. Jesus says, "No, not people who dress in fine clothes, they're found in kings' palaces, not in kings' jails. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet." And here Jesus just gives the confirmation. This is the one about Isaiah 40. "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you." You know, there's no confusion. "I'm the real deal," says Jesus. John the Baptist was right to say Isaiah 40 is happening. But really what also Jesus is telling us in our disappointments is maybe our expectations about the kingdom are wrong if we think being in prison is a failure. God did not send John the Baptist to be a reed swayed in the wind. A reed swayed in the wind, telling people what they want to hear, is not going to be in prison. Jesus is saying John is successful in God's eyes because he is in prison. He has been faithful to God, and God sees it, and God has not forgotten his faithfulness. God didn't send John to wear fancy clothes and to have cups of tea with corrupt leaders. Jesus is saying, you know you're pleasing God when the world hates you. You know the kingdom of God has arrived if it clashes with worldly authorities. If the world's praising you, then something is wrong. The kingdom of God will take root in the world through persecution, suffering, and weakness. You have not been forgotten. You are doing exactly what God wants you to do. And friends, we know this even more than John the Baptist may have anticipated, because the mission of the Messiah is crucifixion, not glory. And from the very humble manger, the stable, the manger, all that kind of messiness of the baby, the birth, all the way to the cross, the kingdom of God turns our expectations upside down. In fact, John the Baptist is so successful, he's foreshadowing the death of the Messiah. I mean, he literally is preparing the way for the Lord in his own being beheaded three chapters later. It's similar to Jesus, who himself will be killed by worldly authorities. So friends, if you feel forgotten by God, I declare to you today, you are not forgotten. If you feel that your reward hasn't come, well, I say to you, it's coming. God knows. You know, Jesus is quick to say, I know exactly what John is going through, and I'll give him the credit. You know, well, listen to what Jesus says in verse 11. "I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." He's speaking here in terms of the eras from the old covenant into the new covenant that Jesus brings. The old covenant, the Old Testament with Israel, is a story of rescue. In that story of rescue over, you know, 2,000 years, beginning with Abraham, you know, culminating in John the Baptist. He's the greatest in that story. But now, the good thing is, the new covenant trumps the old. So he who is least in the kingdom of heaven, the new covenant, is greater than he at the top of the old. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. You know, not soft men, not people pleasing wimps, But the kingdom of God comes with people like John the Baptist, with courage and force. And, you know, Jesus says, if you're willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Because one of the prophecies of the Old Testament was that Elijah would precede the Messiah, and that is John the Baptist. This is a great encouragement, friends. I think what we're really seeing is, it's almost like Jesus is giving a little foretaste of what the day of judgment will be like. And this is what John the Baptist's recognition will be like at the second coming of Christ, at the second advent of Christ. All these things, you know, the jail and the discouragement of John will be forgotten, and he will get every reward and all the honor due to him for his faithfulness to Jesus. And so I think that's our encouragement today, friends. If you feel let down by God, remember that your recognition comes at the second coming of Christ. It doesn't come now. It doesn't come in this world. It comes at the second advent of Jesus. You know, it's to his honor and eternal credit. It'll be remembered forever what John the Baptist gave up for Jesus. God will see to it that it is spoken of him. This is not where we get our rewards. Our rewards are to come. And God's knowledge of your suffering for his name is perfect, you know, and not one moment will be forgotten by God. Couple of chapters, as I've said a few times, John will get beheaded for his godliness. And then later in Matthew's gospel, he'll tell parables about the second coming. And here's what he will say about every believer, every faithful believer. This is the commendation we look forward to in Matthew 25, the day when Jesus will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Friends, live for that day. Hold off expecting your recognition now, expecting your reward now. Be faithful and endure. Don't be like a reed swayed in the wind going with the world. Be forceful, be faithful like John the Baptist, and you will get your credit. Even a glass of water, Jesus said once, you know, that you give in my name will get its reward. Can I encourage you, will you keep patiently serving Jesus? Will you keep trusting him? Will you keep your confidence in him even when you feel unrecognized? Will you choose patient godliness and glory then, instead of being one of those people who's clamoring for a medal right now? Let's pray that we'd be patient. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you clearly love John the Baptist, and even though you didn't actually get him out of jail, you honoured him and you knew all he had done for you. And Lord Jesus, we claim those truths for ourselves, that you know our service, you know our hours, you know the things we do in private to honour you. And we pray, Lord Jesus, you'll give us energy by the Holy Spirit to keep on this course, that we might not become discouraged because we don't get praise now, but we might look forward to the praise that you alone will give eternally at your return. Amen.